Okay, Chevra, let's go. Itmar, right? We're on Chaf Beis, I'm off the two dots. Itmar. Rav Omar, Ein Madlikin Miner Laner, Ushmuel Omar Madlikin. Right? Rav says that you're not allowed to light Miner Laner. Shmuel says you can. Rav Omar, Ein Matirin Sitzis Mi Beged Lebeged. Shmuel Omar Matirin Mi Beged Lebeged. Rav Omar, Ein Halachic Rib Shimon Begreira, Ushmuel Omar Halachic Rib Shimon Begreira. Right, so there are three points of dispute here between Rav and Shmuel. Madlikin miner laner, metilin mibegin lebeged, and then there's like the oddball out, which is whether or not we paskin like Reb Shimon by Greira. Greira is the din of dragging a bench, right? And that's the halacha of called Dovar She'eno Miskaven. That Dovar She'eno Miskaven, according to Reb Shimon, is mutter, according to Reb Yehuda, is usser. But of course, we're talking about that I'm dragging a bench that's not particularly heavy. If it's a heavy bench, then it would be a psik resha. And psik resha, right? The difference between Dovar She'eno Miskaven and psik resha is. Who wants to explain this one? Not so hard. Michal.
Psik resha is when you do something and you know that from the time. You do X and you know why it's going to happen and why it's usher.
Well, you missed the key word though. Secretion, I do X
for sure.
And Y will for sure happen. It's inevitable that Y will happen.
For sure. I didn't say for sure.
Right.
Sure. Okay.
And why will for sure
first
happen?
First is, there was your miscavian. It's actually maybe a little bit different than what I'm about to say. But you're not sure what's going to happen.
Exactly.
Might be your kavana, might be a din in the metzias. You're not sure whether it's going to be heavy enough or whatever.
So that's absolutely correct. The question that is worth focusing on, just for like 30 seconds, is when I drag a bench. So unless it's a very heavy bench, we assume that's a davar she'eino miskaven, because I don't know it's going to make a charetz. I don't know if it will dig this hole. If it digs the hole, so then it's either going to be the malacha of choresh, or it's going to be the malacha of bona.
Right.
So where's bona come from? You are thinking like a modern person who has carpet or hard floors. If you are the type of person who lives with a dirt floor, so then the bona is that you are digging something in the floor and you're going to put stuff in the floor, you're going to use it as storage, whatever. Now there's another halacha, or another category on Shabbos, called a suffik psik resha. Suffik psik resha means a suffik l'sha avar. For example, everyone's favorite case about if I don't remember if I took the light bulb out of my refrigerator. So I open, right? This is like, I told you this the first time I was ever a rabbi. I was a summer rabbi in Rabbi Willig's shul in Riverdale. So Friday night, I go to open the refrigerator and the light goes on. Apparently, Rebbetzin Willig, like, usually unscrews the light bulb before Shabbos. Like, I grew up, like, I think a normal person, that we just don't have any light in the refrigerator ever because we're worried that we'll forget. So then, like, I'm like, oh my gosh, now what do we do? So I had to take all this stuff out of the Willig's refrigerator, go down the hall to the neighbors. The neighbor that Rabbi Willig has is the Rosh Yeshiva of Tells Riverdale, Rav Uzband. He's Rabbi Willig's next-door neighbor. So I knock on the door. He's like, who are you? What are you doing here? I'm like, oh, I can't, like, put all my food in your refrigerator.
I have a question on that. Did you let it close? Or you
no. So then I moved a chair and I left the door open the whole Shabbos. And then Rebbetzin Willig was not so happy with us, because it's like not good for your refrigerator motor and stuff. I'm like, well, what am I supposed to do? He's like, take the light bulb out before Shabbos. I'm like, got it. So that's called the suffik psik resha, in the sense that on the possibility that X happened in the past, on the possibility that the metzius is that the light bulb was taken out, then it's not a problem. The possibility that the light bulb was not taken out, then it is going to be a problem. Since I'm not sure, so many poskim can treat a suffik psik resha like a davar she'eno miskaven, and therefore many poskim permit a suffik psik resha on Shabbos.
With what suffik?
Well, suffik psik resha in the sense of that, can I open the refrigerator, right, when I'm not sure if the light was in or out?
No, but then that's you still can't let it go. It
And I still can't let it close because then it's for sure that I'm.
It's not worth having a fridge.
Okay. Okay. Whatever. I think we're losing focus over here, right? You should have refrigerators. They're important, but let's go on. So, the question is like this: if I'm dragging a bench. Now, whether or not I'll make a furrow depends on a few factors. It depends on the dirt and whether the ground underneath that bench, how hard is it, how soft is it. It depends on the heaviness of the bench. So it's not like such a binary factor, right? It's not like a binary function. If it's a very heavy bench, you'll definitely make a hole. If it's a less heavy bench, you won't make a hole. It's not a binary function because there's so many other factors involved. And one could ask a question, and if you ask this question, it's a very good question. They don't know the answer to this question. The question is, shouldn't it be a suffix psik resha? In other words, even if the bench is extremely heavy, lav davka, am I going to make a hole in the dirt? Because if the ground is tough enough, right, nothing will change. So one could argue that even if it's a very heavy bench, right, it should not be a regular psik resha, it should be a suffik psik resha, because it's a suffik lesha avar. It's based on some fact that I don't know, right?
Maybe you do know.
Well, it's not. Well, how is this different than the light bulb in the refrigerator? In the light bulb in the refrigerator, if I took it out beforehand.
No, that's different. This, you know. You, yeah,
either
you
it happens or it didn't.
Case, but case, you know, in your case, yeah. If your bench is heavy and if the ground is soft. Versus.
But,
you don't know if you took the light bulb out.
That's true. But I don't know how hard. But I don't know how hard the ground is. Like,
it
I'm not
like
such
it's
an.
It's not black and white for the bench. Like, there's no. Either this happened or this happened. There are like too many factors for it to be an either or.
So you're saying that like the definition of suffix psik resha is only when there's one factor? I thought the poskim assumed that suffix psik resha is whenever there's a pre-existing condition that I don't know about, and on one eventuality of that pre-existing condition, this will happen. Another eventuality won't. So I thought that's suffix psik resha. Again, this question's been bothering me for a while. Talia's saying, Rabbi, like, don't get so bothered with this. It's not such a problem. Okay, I hear.
Sure.
Yeah.
Can you say that the case of Reira, of dragging the bench, would be a suffix lava, and the light bulb would be a suffix lesha avar? Because, I mean, like, you said about the light bulb by the fridge, like, either it happened or it didn't. You took it out or it didn't. As opposed to in the case of Reira, there's, so, like, similar to what Talia's saying, but also not. Like, how hard I choose to drag the bench. I don't know how hard I'm going to drag it. That's suffix lesha avar.
That would be lahabah.
Right.
But I think even so, whether or not I make a hole in the ground depends on the ground and the firmness of the ground, which is lesha avar.
But you can see the ground.
If you walk on the ground,
you can't really tell. I mean, like, I've...
But it didn't happen.
I mean, my wife tells me that, like, we once spent a Shabbos in camp. Because my sister goes to camp for the summer. It's like walking on the ground with high heels is like a thing, right? It's like, it's very hard to tell whether you're going to end up making holes in the ground or not. Is that correct? You can't just like eyeball it and figure it out.
Isn't that the whole point?
But here it's not just a question of Metzius. If it was just a question of Metzius of how, what number level, how hard is the ground, then you could say it's a...
That would be a suffix lesha avar.
Right. But it's not just dependent on that. Still, whether the ground could be the same hardness on two shabbos, then it may or may not happen.
Okay, so you're saying that unlike... that's similar, I think, to what Talia was saying, that with the refrigerator, there's just one...
Right.
It's a binary function.
Meaning if the light was left on, then when you open the door, it's going to turn on. Here, the floor can be equally hard, and it may or may not happen.
It depends how quickly I'm dragging. It depends on the angle that I'm holding it. Perhaps. Okay. But the basic point is, let's go slowly. There are three machlokes between Rav and Shmuel. Madlika miner laner, and matirin mibeged lebeged, and halachic ripshim begreira. Halachic ripshim begreira is kind of the oddball out. That doesn't connect. But is a little bit strange in the Gemara that the Gemara does not give a third case that would be exactly the same as Madlika Miner Laner and Matirin LeBeged LeBeged, and that would be, can I take a mezuzah down from home one to put it up on home two? Which is a discussion that Tosis brings up, but it's highly, I'd say it's intriguing, right, that the Gemara does not mention anything about, how would we say it in Hebrew, like, removing the mezuzah from one home to the other home. That is not found in the Gemara. Why not? So that's a question that we should focus on briefly. And I think if we learn the Tosfos well, we'll have some sense of how to answer this question. The bottom Tosfos on Chaf, or the second to bottom Tosfos on Chaf, Beis Amud Aleph. Okay, so before we get into the whole Gemara, let's learn the Tosis now. Ready? Rav Amar Ein Matirin Beg LeBeged. Everyone had a chance to do this Tosis? So Rav says, Lo Mibaya Ichoves Talasu Da Aser El Afilu Choves Gavrehu Nami Aser. There's a machlokas in the Nachos about whether whether clay kufsa is chayavim betzitzis. Clay kufsa is, let's say I have something that just sits in the drawer. I have a beged, four corners on it. Right, and it sits in the drawer. Is it chayiv and tzitzis or not? So, one opinion is that it's a chovas talis, that it's basically a din on the cheftza. The other opinion is that's a chovas gavra. So Tosis says, intuitively, you would think that the machlokas Rav and Shmuel as to whether matirin mibeged lebeged really depends on whether I'm being mevatel the mitzvah. And if it's a chovas talis, then I'm being mevatel the mitzvah. If I take the tzitzis off talis 1 to put on talis 2, I was just mevatel the mitzvah. But if it's chovas hagavra, so I'll say, well, the beged itself, the garment itself, has no obligations. It's just a garment, right? So Tosfos says, not only if it's chovas talis is it usher, even if it's chovas gavra nami usher, kida ashkechon b'mezuzah, Dinenash also shenotla b'vav metzia b'sof perek hashoel. The Gemara in Bav Metzia says that somebody took the mezuzah down from his home, and the person got a punishment. He ended up suffering. The home was destroyed. Whatever. Af agav dechovas hadarhi. Even though mezuzah is a chigiv on the gavra, not on the bayis. Chovas Hadar means it's a chiyuv on the Gavra. So you see that even though it's a chiyuv on the Gavra, still it is usur to take it down. So even though the chiyuv on Tzitzis is on the Gavra, it's usur to take it down. That's what Tosis proves from the Gemara in Bav Metzia. Now, it's Me'anyen Hadavar, right, that Tosis is making a challenge over here. You see, our Gemara is talking about whether I'm allowed to undo the strings from Beged 1 and put them on Beged 2. Whether I'm allowed to be madlik from Ner to Ner. Right? So our Gemara is discussing Aser versus Mutter. The Gemara in Bava Metzia is talking about that you get an onesh. You get punished for taking the mezuzah down. Right? There are times that you can get punished for doing an Aveira. There are times that the punishment could be just a punishment, even though it's not necessarily an Aveira. Tosfos is saying, right, what's the reason? How come the Gemara says that if I take my mezuzahs down, I get punished? There's actually the shayla, the last shayla that I get from everybody in my community in the Heights is, what? Can they take their mezuzahs when they move? It's like, the first shaila you usually get is about tefilas kelim, right? And the last shaila is about mezuzah. This is just the way communities work. Can they take their mezuzah? And by the way, in most cases, the answer is, yes, we can. Because even though the Gemara, because they'll paint, right? In other words, in most apartments in the Heights, and I think probably everywhere on the planet, the landlord likes to earn money. And if they repaint the apartment, they could raise the rent. So whenever a tenant moves out, the landlord will repaint and then raise the rent a bit.
And once they're repainting, so the workers are going to be coming in and out of the apartment. There have been many cases, like when the workers pull the mezuzahs down and they end up getting trampled. It's like mutar b'bizayon. So as a matter of technical halacha, even though the Gemara says you're not allowed to take the mezuzahs down, the Gemara says shaya yuchashar, that there's like a shade who invades a house when the mezuzah is taken off. There's no mezuzahs because the mezuzah is protection for the house. But, right, practically speaking, we take the mezuzah down. I'm just noting that the Tosfos is bringing a raya from a Gemara about removing a mezuzah, even though the Gemara is not really speaking about an isser per se. The Gemara is speaking about an onesh. And if you would ask me, lefum rihata, like at first glance, I would say the reason why mezuzah is not mentioned in our Gemara is because there's no isser to remove the mezuzah. It's just very bad advice to remove the mezuzah. If you remove the mezuzah, your stuff might be destroyed and you don't want that to happen. That's what I would have said lefum rihata, but Tosfos is chalentizing. Right, Tosfos is assuming that really mezuzah should be the same idea as found in our Gemara. And Tosfos is bringing a right that even though it's a din on the gavra, still you're not allowed to do it. Yeah.
In that Gemara in Bava Metzia, is there machlokum to Rav and Shmuel?
No.
So why would it come up here?
Well, the question. Like, so
we have three machlokum so again, Rav and Shmuel, and the whole point.
But it's the same. But the really, we could just take your statement and ask it as a question. How come there's a machlokas Rav and Shmuel here, and shouldn't that case be the same exact thing?
Like they should have commented there.
They should have had the same machlokas, right? But they don't, right? Let's go on to Tosfos. Tosfos then says, "Ushmuel amar matirin afagad de Shmuel gufei sovar chovas talasi afilu hachi matirin kevan sheosehu letzorech beged acher." Right, Tosfos says like this, that even though Shmuel holds it's a chiyuv on the beged, still I'm allowed to be matir in the beged lebeged, because if I understand the Tosfos correctly, and Tosfos Menachos says this the way I'm presenting it now, chovas ha beged is like a very strange concept, no? It sounds very nice, like in Brisker terminology, to din on the chetz and not on the gavra. But it doesn't make any sense, because like a shirt, as beautiful as it might be, doesn't have any mitzvos. Human beings have mitzvos. So what do you mean that it's a din on the beged? What do you mean it's a chovas talis? So apparently, Shmuel says, oh, it's a chovas talis, because we're worried that any moment you might put it on. So that's why you always have to have it prepared for tzitzis. But what that means is that even though it's a chovas talis, there are higher levels of chiyuv and lower levels of chiyuv. So there's more of a chiyuv if I'm wearing the talis than there is if the talis is just in the drawer. And that's why Shmuel says, matirin mi beged lebeged, even though Shmuel holds it's a chovas talis, even though the beged one's in the drawer has a chiyuv of tzitzis, but I'm going from lower level chiyuv to higher level chiyuv, because it's a chiyuv in the drawer, but that's not as much of a chiyuv as when I'm putting it on. So I'm allowed to take the tzitzis off the talis in the drawer to put it on. So the Rishonim, or the way the Tosfos presents in Menachos, which is probably the same as our Tosfos says over here, they say that if you hold matirin mibeged lebeged according to Shmuel, what that means is that even though there's a chiyuv, but to move from a lower level chiyuv to a higher level chiyuv, you're allowed to do that. Remember, we spoke at the beginning of the semester about whether the chiyuv tzitzis applies only to wool and linen, or does it apply to all begadim? So am I allowed to take tzitzis off of a wool talis to put it onto a cotton talis? Can I take it off of a cotton talis to put it onto a wool talis? Right? So l'cha'ora, to move up in the world, is permitted according to Shmuel, but to move down is not permitted. So if I have the tzitzis on a wool beged, Shmuel might hold, I'm not allowed to take it off to put it on the cotton beged. Right? So then Tosfos says, V'gabe mezuzah, sheneenash, shema lohaya b'dayto lahaniach b'bayis acher. Tosfos says that the onesh that you get from mezuzah is only because you don't intend on putting the mezuzah somewhere else. Meaning, even we pask in like Shmuel, we pask in Matirin, we beged lebeged. That means I should be allowed, according to Tosis, to take the mezuzah off one house to put it on another house. How come the Gemara says you get an onesh? So Tosis says, oh, you get an onesh because the case is that he didn't intend on putting it on the other house. Right? That's the way Tosis takes it. Again, you don't understand the whole Tosis, why Tosis is connecting the onesh to the iser, but nonetheless, Tosis is doing that. Again, the case of Matirin mi beged lebeged according to Shmuel is I take it off a beged that's in my drawer to put it on the beged that I'm going to wear.
Why is he assuming though that he wouldn't put up the mezuzah somewhere else?
If you would put it up somewhere else, Tosis says there's no iser whatsoever. Tosis is saying that Gemara in both Mitzvah is exactly the same as our Gemara, and according to Shmuel, I'm allowed to take a mezuzah off my home if I will put it somewhere else. So the shaila that I get all the time when people are moving out of the Heights, I should tell them, oh, if you're going to put your mezuzah up, let's say, in Stamford or some other community with, like, many Jews, so then it would be okay, according to Tosis's first answer. Because we pass on like Shmuel, and Matir mi beged lebeged to put it somewhere else. Inami, Tosis's second answer is mezuzah shani shasui lahatzo min hamazikin. Tosis's second answer is, no, mezuzah is not the same as our Gemara at all. And even though we hold like Shmuel that Matir mi beged lebeged, I can't take a mezuzah off the house because it will destroy that house. Mezuzah protects you from mazikin, which means demons. We'll talk about that last line in a minute. Okay, so what Tosis basically is saying is that there are two opinions as to whether you're allowed to remove a mezuzah from home A if you are not going to put that mezuzah on home B. Right? Tosis's first opinion, well, I'll say it like this. I said it backwards. There are two opinions on Tosis. Can I remove a mezuzah from home A if I will put that same mezuzah on home B? The first opinion on Tosis is that removing a mezuzah is exactly the same as removing tzitzis from a talus, and therefore if I put it somewhere else, it's mutter. So far, so good. Now, the Sefer Emek Bracha. The Emek Bracha, did we mention him yet, this man? The Emek Bracha was with Aryeh Parmarchik. He was a really interesting fellow. He was Nifter age 38. He was a student of both the Chazonish and the Brisker Rav, and he was supposed to be, like, amazing. And he has, like, a very interesting Sefer. It's short. Each piece is, like, three to five lines, which makes it usable. Like, Sfarim that write, like, 20 pages are much harder to read than the Sefer that writes 3 to 5 lines. So in the Emek Bracha, he raises the following question. Of the Gemara in Yuma on Daf Yud. You made a siyum on Yuma, no? So the Gemara in Yuma on Daf Yud Aleph has a whole sugya about mezuzah. I'm not testing you. Sorry. So the Gemara in Daf Yud Aleph in Yuma has a whole sugya about mezuzah. And the Gemara says that a mezuzah is supposed to be checked twice every 7 years. But if it's a mezuzah shel rabbim, let's say you have like the mezuzah on the Shar Ha'ir or something, so then you check it less often. That's what the Gemara says. Now, the Gemara never says what happens when I check my mezuzah. Presume if I check my mezuzah, I'm taking the mezuzah down. Shouldn't taking the mezuzah down be an iser because you are leaving your home unprotected? Remember, according to the second answer of Tosfos, the idea of not removing a mezuzah is that you're not allowed to leave the home unprotected. And even though someone else is going to move in, and that person will put up their own mezuzah, still I can't leave the home unprotected. So what's my heter to take a mezuzah down to check it?
Do you have other mezuzah? Like you have more than one mezuzah in your house?
So, let's just... Al pi halacha, every room is considered its own house. Right? When the Torah says, like, uchsavdam ha-mezuzos be'secha b'sh'arecha, right, each, my living room is a house, and my bedroom is a house, and my kitchen's a house, those are all different homes.
If you're checking it, then it's a suffix if it's working in the first place.
So it's a suffix if it's working in the first place, okay. So, even so, right? On the possibility, it's almost like a solipsistic rage idea, on the possibility that it was working, what heter do I have to remove it?
Amenas
what? Let's
put it back.
But for a time, the house is going to be unprotected. So,
yeah, but maybe the whole thing
Chazal
like,
never said, it's interesting, no one ever said that you're mechuyev to get another mezuzah to put it up right away when you take that mezuzah down. And sometimes, like, it could take the silver a couple of days to check the mezuzahs. By the way, as a matter of practical halacha, the silver are going to be upset with what I say now, but you really don't have to check your mezuzahs that often. Even though the Gemara says you should check it twice every 7 years, they're talking about mezuzahs that were outside and like exposed to the elements when
like
something
not
could
in
go.
Casing.
No, well, yeah, even if it was in the casing, but the rain is going to get inside, the mezuzah could get ruined. If my mezuzah is at home, my mezuzah is very well protected, I don't really have to check it. My tefillin, right? I don't have to check my tefillin. Because what's going to go wrong? If you leave your tefillin out in the sun, or if you go swimming wearing your tefillin, right? So then you actually have to check it, because then they can really get ruined. But under normal circumstances, it's better not to check your tefillin, because if you check them, bad things could happen, right? Just like...
If you don't check them, bad things could happen.
No, the assumption is that you got them from a Yerei Shamayim, the tefillin were kosher at the beginning. Why do you assume anything went wrong? The only reason you assume something went wrong is if it's exposed to the elements. But if there's no reason, if Shlomo Zalman Auerbach is quoted as saying that you don't have to check your tefillin really, you don't have to check your mezuzahs, unless something goes wrong. Now, some people assume that it's concerned something goes wrong if, like, you lose your job, or if, someone gets sick. That's, like, not normal halacha. That's, like, heebie-jeebie stuff, no? Generally speaking, someone in my shul had a miscarriage, so she called me. She says, like, Rabbi, am I mechuyev to check my mezuzahs right now, or can like I wait a few weeks? I'm like, there's no chiyuv for her to check your mezuzahs. Again, like, I feel very bad for her, but like, whatever. Okay, so the Reb Aryeh Permatrick asks this kasha, how come no one ever says that you're mechuyev to put up a new mezuzah when you take your mezuzah down to check it? So he suggests that maybe the idea is that Chazal can be oker a mitzvah b'shev al ta'aseh. Just like they tell me not to shake a lulav when Sukkot falls out on Shabbos, and they tell me not to blow a shofar when Rosh Hashanah falls out on Shabbos, because they can be oker a mitzvah b'shev al ta'aseh. So here also they can be oker a mitzvah. I should have a mitzvah mezuzah, but they're being oker b'shev al ta'aseh because just it's passive. Now again, it's Shev Al Ta'aseh that I'm passively not hanging a new mezuzah up. Shev Al Ta'aseh. Now that itself, I don't really understand it, because like that's working from the same approach that Tosis is working from, that the issue in removing the mezuzah is Isra and Heter. My understanding is that the second answer of Tosis is that it has nothing to do with Isra and Heter. It's just a din of protection. And if it's a halacha protection, I don't really understand. I mean, I understand why it's not quoted in our Gemara, but I don't understand why Tosis is so bothered by it. Okay, let's talk about the end of Tosis. The practice is that we remove the tzitzis from the talis of a dead person. When a man dies, when a woman dies, you put on tachrichim. When a man dies, you put on tachrichim. The tachrichim are a little bit different for men and women. Without being too gross about it, technically speaking, we wear like a big white robe after you're dead. So for men, we tie the legs above the knee. For women, you tie the legs below the knee, generally speaking. For men, we put a talis on. But the practice is that we passel the talis. Now the Gemara tells us in Nida that you're not supposed to passel the talis of a mace. The Gemara says that we paskin that tchias hamesim is a physical reality. And when the mace will wake up, so the person's going to be all scared, oh my gosh, I'm not wearing tzitzis. Ah! So in order to make sure that doesn't happen, you put the tzitzis on the mace. That's what the Gemara writes in Nida. Right? We believe Tchiyas HaMesim is a physical reality that will happen. And therefore, the Gemara says you should have the talis on. The only thing is that the Jewish practice developed that we bury Mesim with pasul talisos. That the talis, we pasul it when you bury it. We take the talis off. So Tosis is bothered by the kasha. You're not supposed to take the tzitzis off of a talis unless you're putting it on some other talis. And over here, they take the tzitzis off and they don't put on some other talis. That's Tosis's kasha. So Tosis' answer is, well, the only reason why you're not supposed to take the tzitzis off of a talis unless you're putting on another talis is because we're dealing with a talis of a live person who's going to have a real chiyuv. Once you're dead, you don't really have a chiyuv, so then you're allowed to. It's similar to the idea that Tosis mentioned a few lines ago, that according to Shmuel, even though it's a chovas habeged, but there's a higher level chiyuv if you're putting it on something that a person will wear. Here also, it might be a chovas habeged, but it's not really a full chovas habeged, because once the person is dead, we don't assume he's going to be using that talis, right? Okay. Now, the Gemara says that you're supposed to bury a mace with the talis. The practice developed that Taisvis writes, Masha Nahagu, that the minhag is that we pass all the talis. There were two Gedolei Yisrael. This is actually quoted in the Orach HaShulchan in Yeridei Yisim in Shin Nun Gimel. There are two Gedolei Yisrael who decided that they would keep the din as it appears in the Gemara, as opposed to the minhag that everyone does, which is that everyone passels the talis. Two Gedolei wanted to be buried with the tzitzis on. They were the Gra and the Yisod V'Shorish HaAvoda. The Gra instructed one of his Talmidim to make sure that the Chevra Kadisha doesn't passel the talis. And it happens that Talmid had to go to the bathroom or something when the Chevra Kadisha came in, and they passel his talis anyway. The Yisod V'Shorish HaAvoda said that they shouldn't passel his talis, and then as they were lowering him, in America usually, in Chutzlitz we bury people in coffins. Funerals in Israel are much scarier because they bury you, you can like see the outline of the body. It's like a much scarier experience. But the Yisod V'Shorish HaAvoda, they're lowering him down into the ground. The talis got caught on a rock and like a tzit, and one of the tzitzis came off. So the Orach HaShulchan writes, after telling about these two stories, that's as if a basko came out from Shamayim, and the basko says, keep the minhag as it is, don't do the din that it says in the Gemara. That's what Orach HaShulchan writes here in Shin Nun Gimel of Yerideya. The same type of idea appears in the Orach HaShulchan Kuf Chav Ches of Orach Chaim. The halacha really is that Kohanim are supposed to duchen every day, no? Somehow the practice, and then by Sfaradim, yeah, they duchen every day.
Yeah, okay.
Sfaradim duchen every day. It's kind of awesome. What? If you're an Ashkenazi Kohen in a Sfaradi show, you're supposed to duchen. You have a mitzvah d'oraisa to duchen. What? Again?
Even
the chutzar Sfaradim duchen every day. When my brother-in-law was teaching Yeshiva Flatbush, so one of like his Haredi neighbors, my brother-in-law lives in Far Rockaway to heal his father, so he was like making fun of, what do they do when you're at school, you know, like on Thanksgiving, what do you do, like making fun. So he says, oh yeah, well, I daven, they duchen, because he davened in the Sfaradi minyan, and they duchen, and that was like his way of getting back at the guy. So the minhag of Ashkenazim that goes back many hundreds of years, Adina, here's your Gemara. The minhag of Ashkenazim is that we don't duchen every day. In Chutz La'aretz, we only duchen on Yom Tov. That's standard Ashkenazi minhag. A number of Gedolim decided to try to institute the practice that they would duchen every day in Chutz La'aretz. And the story goes that the Gra wanted them to duchen in his Beis Medrash during the week. He's going to institute it. And his luck, the Beis Medrash burns down. So now, the Orach HaShulchan writes the same idea. He says it's like a basko came out min hashamayim not to change the minhag. This is like one of the harder areas of halacha that these are cases where you have a minhag that is against the Gemara. The din in the Gemara is that you're supposed to leave the tzitzis on the mace. The din in the Gemara is that you're supposed to duchen every day. There's no real heter medina de Gemara not to do it. Nonetheless, the practice somehow developed that we don't do that. And the Aruch HaShulchan says it's like a baskol came out and therefore we don't change the practice. Now, when I said this in the shiur a few months ago, so I got an email from somebody. He said, wouldn't that be the avera of lo tenach hashuv lo ta'oneinu? Remember, the Torah says that we're not supposed to, like, what's the word? Augur, A-U-G-U-R or something, right? We're not supposed to, like, follow what the birds say, and we're not supposed to take simonim from various and sundry things. We're supposed to be tamim tiyam Hashem Elokecha. Do only what's right. I'm not exactly sure the answer to that. The minhag of not duchening every day, right? And the grudge tried to do it, and the Beis Medrash burns out. It's like a simen min hashamayim to keep the minhag. That idea of saying it's a simen min hashamayim is a little halachically problematic based on this idea of lo tenach hashuv lo ta'oneinu. I don't know. But the Aruch HaShulchan has it in two places. I have a number of other examples of this, no? We'll talk about one example of Chanukah. There's a discussion in Poskim whether you do Havdalah before Neros Chanukah or you do Havdalah after Neros Chanukah.
Oh, you know this one. Right? We forgot who. He said and he forgot a Tachon Antanu and changed his mind.
Right, very good. You know that from me or not from somebody else?
Yeah, and I don't remember at all because I didn't say anything just now.
So Reb David Zvi Hoffman wanted... Remember, both the Mechaber and the Ramot Paskin, that you're supposed to do Havdalah before Neiros Chanukah. But the Taz says, no, you do Neiros Chanukah before Havdalah. Reb David Zvi Hoffman decided that the Taz was correct, and he was going to do the Taz, which is Neiros Chanukah before Havdalah, but then he forgot Atachon Antanu, and once he forgot Atachon Antanu, he couldn't light Chanukah candles, right, because it's still Shabbos. So therefore he said, oh, obviously, right, it's a simen min hashamayim, that what? That the Mechaber and the Ramah, right, not the Taz. So that's like a funny idea also, to take that as a simen min hashamayim, because like, you messed up and you skipped out to Chon Antonu. It's a little bit funny. I have a whole bunch of these examples. I've been thinking about this for a long time. And the question as to why it's not an aveir of lo tenach hashuv lo ta'oneinu, I think is worth focusing on, but I don't know the answer. Okay, should we go weiter in the Gemara? So three machlokas in between Rav and Shmuel. Zuck the Gemara. Oh, we have like three more minutes. Yosef hu merabonin kamei derav adabar. Hava v'yosef ka'amar taimed derav mishum bizoy mitzvah. Amar lahu lo tatzitu loy taimed derav mishum deka machish mitzvah. May binayu ikabinayu deka madek mishraga l'shraga. Manda amar mishum bizoy mitzvah. Mitzvah mishraga l'shraga. Manlik mano mishum achushim mitzvah mishraga l'shraga nami aser. Right, there are two possibilities as to why it might be aser l'hadlik min er l'ner. One possibility is bizui mitzvah. Bizui mitzvah means that I'm degrading the mitzvah. Right, how can I take an item that's supposed to be mamish a mitzvah and take and use it for something else? That's not proper. The other approach is achushim mitzvah. Achushe mitzvah isn't, I would say, the covet for the mitzvah, but achushe mitzvah is that I'm detracting, I'm taking away from the mitzvah in the physical sense. Now, the Gemara says that if I hold of bizui mitzvah, so then I'd be allowed to light me ner l'ner. Because... Right, one is a candle of a mitzvah, the other is a candle of a mitzvah. But if I hold of achushe mitzvah, so then I cannot light miner l'ner, because I am taking something away from the mitzvah. In other words, according to the approach of bizui mitzvah, the only reason why it's usher to light miner l'ner is if I take a toothpick, I take a match, and I'm lighting from this candle to another because I'm using a non-mitzvah item from mitzvah A to mitzvah B. Now, let's just read Rashi over here, and we'll make one diyuk in Rashi, and then I think we're going to have to go. So Rashi at the beginning of the sugya, Miner Laner, Rashi says, what candles are we talking about? Chanukah. Right? That's pretty easy. Right? Rashi says it's talking about Neros of Chanukah. Then look at the Rashi, Rashi Tama de Rav. It's like seven lines in the bottom. Tama de Rav Miner Laner. The reason why Rav says, Eman Likim Miner Laner, is it Mishum Bizui Mitzvah? Shemad the kissim she'eno min ha-mitzvah miner shel mitzvah u'mimenu mad the kashar. Rashi does not say from a ner shel Chanukah. Rashi uses a more generic term, ner shel mitzvah. Am I allowed, let's say I have Shabbos candles. Am I allowed to be madlik miner laner? Right? At the beginning of the sugya, for some reason, Rashi says only a ner shel Chanukah. Later on in the sugya, when we're talking about in the Bizoy mitzvah as opposed to Achushei mitzvah, so then Rashi writes Ner Shel mitzvah, which sounds like any mitzvah, not only Chanukah. So that's one diyuk that we'll have to hold, and we'll discuss in a minute. Let me just read one more Rashi and one more diyuk, and then I'll take Sophia's comment. Achushei, Rashi writes again, when I take away from the mitzvah, so Rashi says demechzi commander shakon nahora. What does Rashi mean when he says demechzi?
Looks like it, but it's
you're not actually taking anything away.
That's true.
Right? We have a rule of ner la'echa ner la'meya. Right? In other words, the same candle could light, right? This is like the difference between power and influence, the way Rabbi Jonathan Sacks says it. Right? If you're a candle, you can influence and it spreads more. If you try to use power, so then you deplete yourself when you give, right? So Rashi says you're not really taking away. It's mechzi commander shakol nahora. The Ritva disagrees with Rashi, or Ritva says you're really taking it away, but it's not nikar. That's the lashon of the Ritva. It sounds like there's some metaphysical machlokas over here. I don't understand it. The next thing to think about that you'll see in Tafresh Ayin Dalet, and if Aleph, I think, in Tafresh Ayin Dalet, am I allowed to light? Tonight was the fourth night of Chanukah. Can I light from candle 2 to candle 1? L'cha'ora, right? Only candle 1 is the Iker mitzvah. The other candles are for Hiddur. So is that considered Miner L'Ner? Are they both candles of a mitzvah? One could argue they're not both candles of a mitzvah because one is Hiddur mitzvah, one is the Iker mitzvah, and who says I'm allowed to do that? I didn't realize how late it was. I'm happy to take questions on the way out. I just got to run to try to make this.